Scripture before I preach a scripture that my sister used to quote a lot, and the Lord gave it to her, and I believe it's in Psalm 22, and if I can find it, somebody got a Bible quicker than I am. It's Psalm 22, and I believe it's verse 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Amen. Brother Zane is talking about testifying. And we do know that our lives are our greatest testimony. But there comes occasions when we are compelled to stand up in a congregation of our brethren and proclaim his praises, amen, and in the midst of the congregation, and declare his name. It always stirs me up, don't you? Amen. Nice, quiet little service here, but I tell you, I'm having a good time. I feel the Lord. I know the Lord's here. I'm not here wringing my hands wondering when the Lord's going to show up. I feel him right now. Praise God. I love this. I love shouting. I used to do more of it when I was a little more limber. But I still love shouting. But I'll tell you what I love more than shouting is knowing I'm saved. Huh? You say, well, you mean you wouldn't know it while you're shouting? Well, yeah, normally. But I'm just saying I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I've got thoughts on my mind. And you just try to figure. You never can know what the service is going to be like and who's going to be there and what they need. And so, but you just pray and the Lord knows. And so sometimes when it seems like it's out of season, well, I just have to be instant in season and out of season, I reckon. But I want you to go to 2 Samuel tonight and appreciate everything that's been said. I would like to say thank you for giving. We paid that $16,200 off. Scot-free. I mean, just wrote that check. I thank God. I mean, glad for God. Yes, sir. Huh? And we got, I don't know exactly, but we've got, probably the rest of this year, if it goes like it did last year, we'll pay the whole deal off with room to spare. And so that'd be great. Amen. But I do appreciate the Lord moving and on you to give. And, we just need to get in the habit of giving because that's really a real key to surviving financially, and that's giving. Now, I know you may not understand that, but if you've read your Bible, you know it's true. Amen. He that soweth sparingly, reapeth sparingly. He that soweth liberally, reapeth liberally. So if you want to be blessed and survive, amen, just give. Amen. That's just like priming the well. Hallelujah. And I appreciate you giving and took the pressure off. Go ahead, read there. You may have a better sermon than I do. Go ahead. Amen. That's right. That's right. Go. I like that. And, the Jews do that, Yeah. That's right. So if we'll be ready, I mean, we're going to head in the right direction, aren't we? Huh? Well, I turn to 2 Samuel. Anybody else feel like saying anything tonight? We're going to. I had a couple of things on my heart. I settled on this evening, and I really feel like the Lord nudged me about this scripture. And as you turn to the first chapter, it won't seem like to you, it seems a little morbid for this sweet service here. But in the first chapter of 2 Samuel, we read where David. And David, to me, Brother Zane, is an incredible character. I mean, he's the best and worst of a man. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I think God told everything he ever done on him. He put it in a Bible for millions of people to read. And so, but the grace of God is so prevalent in David's life. But here's one of the most incredible things about David, and that's not really my text. But David was such a man. Saul was his enemy. Saul hated him. He was jealous of him. And you know, if you've ever had anybody jealous of you, you know how evil a spirit that is. That's just a bad spirit. You can feel it nearly. It's so bad. And David realized that Saul hated him. But when in this first chapter, it looks like it would have been a relief to David. You know, when he got the news. The servant brought the news and told David that Saul had and Jonathan had been killed on the battlefield. Well, it did not bring joy. Amen. And you know, Proverbs tells us not to rejoice when the wicked fall. That's what he said. When your enemy falls, not to rejoice over it. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, God wanted us to have a spirit. Now, look at this spirit, the man after God's own heart here. Amen. David had a spirit when he realized that Saul and Jonathan, who was his dearest friend on earth, had died in the battlefield. Brother, there's a lot at stake here. And not only did Saul and Jonathan die, but the nation was defeated by the Philistine army. Amen. But David began to lament. He began to weep and mourn over Saul. And Saul tried his best to kill him and to slander him. And now David begins to lament. And I'm going to read this. And then I'm going to try to preach on this one phrase in here. But David lamented over with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, listen to this. And this is what he said. He bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Now, Jasher, it was just a writing. It wasn't really an inspired work of the Lord, but it was just a kind of a history writing that we don't, who knows where it's at now. But they wrote these things about them down in the book of Jasher, how they taught how to fight with the bow. David said it like this. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? That's the phrase I want you to look at as I'm going to read a little more. But he says, the beauty of Israel, the best of Israel, the most appealing thing about Israel, now it's fallen on the battlefield. And he says, how? And notice how he says this. How are the mighty fallen? He's referring to the mighty being Saul, amen, and Jonathan. How are the mighty fallen? And then he says, tell it. Now, here's what he says. Brother, in a world of phone tag and email and Bebo and all that, I don't know if we can keep from telling this or not, amen. But David said, don't tell it. Publish it not in Gath. I want to know, really, that ought to be our attitude when a mighty warrior has fallen to the dirt. Amen. It ought to grieve our hearts. And he said, and you know, what good does it do to publish it? All right. What are you with me so far? What spiritual eternal good does it do to publish the failure? Amen. Of a giant man who falls down and crashes to the ground. And so David says, publish it not in Gath. How many knows where Gath was at? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. That's the enemy. Amen. Don't tell it where the enemy can gloat and glory over it. And so he says, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For there are the shields of the mighty. Listen, I feel the Lord in this. For the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Now, I want you to understand, there is, amen, a place in a man's life, amen, and a woman's life, even though they've been anointed with oil. Amen. If Satan has his way, he will render you to a point where it is just like you've never been anointed at all with oil. That's what happened to Saul's life. I wonder, Brother Robert, as David observed this and realized Saul fell in battle. Amen. The Philistines came. Amen. And cut his head off, took his dismembered body and nailed it to the wall, amen, and just made sport of him, amen. And David looked at this, but you know, the fall of Saul, amen, did not begin, amen, on this battlefield with these Philistines. And David remembered very well when it was, amen, because he had been there when he had to get the harp and play and drive the evil spirits away from Saul's life. Amen. So David had watched this great, amen, fall, amen, of this mighty man. And he asked the question, how art the mighty fallen? Amen. Oh, boy, I hope I can preach to you. God bless your heart. Amen. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. He began to brag on them here at their funeral, at this lamentation. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death, they were not divided. Here's a son that was a good man, that was loyal to a bad father. Are you listening to me? And because he followed him in the battlefield, he followed a king that was no longer anointed, that did not have the Spirit of God, that had no sense of spirituality, that hated the best man in the country, amen, that went down to the witch of Endor, amen, and tried to conjure up and did conjure up a dead prophet in a spiritual sense. Amen. Are you listening to me? How did he stoop that low? Amen. But here they are. The Bible said they're not divided in their death. I'm going to read just a little more. I'm going to try to preach to you. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and other delights, put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places, in the prime of thy life. And he says, I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, for the love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen? That's how he sums it up. How? How? How did this happen? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to preach just a little message. My messages ain't all that pointed, and so it won't take that long. But I look at this, and it disturbs me. Amen. He loved this man and the anointing, and he had a respect for this man that was anointed. Amen. This man, he expected the position and the office, amen, of this man who had been anointed. Now David had been anointed. And here he loved this man, Jonathan. Jonathan loved him, but now they're in a crisis. And they look at each other, and David asked the question, how did this happen? Amen. I don't know. There's been things, amen, in my life and in church work and through the years that I've asked the question. I look at a crisis, and I say, what went wrong? What did we do wrong? What went wrong in this situation that caused this crisis, amen, that is upon us here, amen, tonight? And I know you say, well, this is not a very good Wednesday night message. Well, I don't know if the Holy Ghost keeps up with what day or night it is. Amen. But I want to preach to us, amen, that this mighty has fallen. Amen. What went wrong? Amen. It's not hard if you've studied the Bible. Amen. It's not hard, really. But, brother, I want to just remind us again, amen, the truths, amen, that are in this Bible. Amen. You see, when Saul was first anointed, he didn't volunteer for this position. Are you listening to me? I said he didn't volunteer for this position. Amen. As a matter of fact, when they brought the crews of oil and they went to looking for him, amen, he was hid. He had hid himself. Amen. Can I tell you that is one of the critical points of a Christian's life? What was it Brother Mike was trying to tell us? Amen. When he came to sing his first few times, he had to go get his guitar out. I'll tell you what, if he ever loses that spirit, amen, come on now, amen. Amen. He hid himself among the stuff. Amen. If we're going to live this Christian life, amen, successfully and victoriously, we must hide ourselves. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when Saul got to the point where no longer he he wanted to hide himself, but he wanted to lift himself up into the wrong position. Amen. The Bible said pride cometh. Amen. I said pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. I'll tell you, how are we going to survive? I'll tell you how our church will survive. I'll tell you how we're going to keep, amen, falling from falling and from scandal erupting in your life. Amen. We must keep ourselves hid. We must keep ourselves hid. Amen. In the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. Amen. In the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to preach to you. Pride. Amen. Everybody knows how to spell pride. What's that middle letter? I. You get I. I'm going to preach to you. I know this is terrible. Amen. But I want to preach to you. Amen. You see, pride. Amen. That was the first sin. Amen. That was ever really mentioned in the Bible. Amen. You mean it was the one that Cain committed? No. It was the sin of the devil. Amen. That was already in a place where you and I are trying to get there. Amen. And he got cast out. Amen. Because he wanted to exalt his throne. Amen. Above the throne of God. How many knows, amen, that God is almighty? And we must realize that his throne is exalted. Amen. What are we? What is man that thou art mindful of man? And the son of man that thou would visit man? Brother, I'm not talking about false humility. Amen. Going into a monastery and putting ash on our head. Amen. But I'm talking about recognizing who God is. Amen. When Saul was small in his own eyes, then God exalted him to the highest place in the kingdom. Amen. But then when Saul, amen, got great in his own eyes, he began to listen. If we're going to survive, amen, and live right and holy and keep on our feet with God, amen, we must have humility. Amen. The Bible said it even about the Son of God. Amen. He learned humility by the things he suffered. Amen. God help us. Amen. What happened here? Amen. Saul came out of the staff. Amen. And God exalted in himself. Brother Mark Roberts preached the message. He said the disease of me is eating us up. Huh? How many knows what the disease of me is? Remember the rich man that went out one day and realized he had prospered in such a way that he said, I'll tear down my barns and build greater. Now, church, listen. I've been preaching a long time, trying to. Some say I haven't made it yet, and they may be more right than not. But can I tell you that I have watched and I have preached holiness, and I've made mad here and there. When you get on their things they're doing, you know, they'll bristle up their outward appearance. Ladies especially get hit more than the men, you know, and this ain't much a man can do for himself anyway, you know. You see a man all Maybellined up, you think strange of him, you know. That's right, but you know, the ladies, they get the brunt of that outward adorning, you know, and it's all in the Bible. But you know where I've had the most rub preaching? I'm going to tell you now. You say, this ain't so. It may not be so for most preachers. But, brother, I get more kickback when I get to preaching against selfishness and pride than I do against television and earbobs. Huh? I mean, you get kickback on it, but I'm telling you, in a holiness church, amen, most everybody's done got that took care of. Amen. But when you get to going around about that self-love and that self-interest and that self-ambition and wanting to exalt yourself, amen, higher than you ought to be. Oh, I know this ain't good. Amen. Pray, hallelujah, we'll have a shout-out Sunday morning. But can I tell you, something's happened. There's a crisis. A giant has fallen. Amen. Why? How did it happen? Hallelujah. Next thing I want you to notice, and this is real simple preaching. But the next thing I want us to notice in here, amen, is when Saul, God told him to go up to battle against these Amalekites. And he went up and he told him, and I know this is hard for us to imagine in the New Testament gospel age, amen, but God told him through Samuel, amen, to go up and destroy every last one of them. Amen. How many knows that the Bible did teach that? Now people, they look at that and say it's a bloody, amen, but you've got to look at the whole Bible, amen, to understand the precepts here. But God told him to go up, amen, and to kill every last one, not to spare, amen, not a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a sheep, a goat, amen. Come on now. I'll tell you, when Saul began to fall, when he compromised on what the Bible said, amen. Come on now. Amen. We've got to have a church, amen, that believes the whole Bible and believes that the whole congregation must live the whole Bible. Amen. That's how we get favor with God. But brother, when we begin to thinking about old self, amen, and we forget what God said, and we begin to spare the best, and spare the king, and spare the leader, and spare self, and spare us, amen, we're getting ready to fall. Amen. How many knows he spared Agag? And he spared the best of the flock. Come on now, church. Y'all help me preach. I wish I could have got something better, but this is it. Amen. How about it? How about in our lives? Amen. I'll tell you, I learned by this scripture right here. Amen. That the best of us, amen, come on now, can fall. Amen. I believe in dedication. I believe in sanctification. But I want you to know, amen, that it doesn't take, amen, but one sin, amen, are you listening to me, amen, to ruin a whole lifetime of building of character and moral, amen. Ezekiel told, amen, he said to warn the sinner, amen, that, and if you don't warn the sinner, then his blood is upon your hands. It did not stop there. He said, warn the righteous, and if the righteous sin, his righteousness shall be remembered no more. Amen. And if you warned him not, his blood will be on your hands. You know why we must keep on preaching holiness? Amen. Because I'm going to be responsible. Amen. For you. If you go out there and do some evil thing that I haven't warned you about, amen, and tell you it's all right. Brother, there's a lot of preachers. I wouldn't be in their shoes for their socks. Are you listening to me? Amen. Not God called to this. I don't preach what I want to preach. I don't preach out of my Bible. I preach out of God's Bible. And if God said go up and kill them all, we'd better get to busy at it. And we can't compromise, because when we start compromising, we're going to fall flat on our face. I know y'all don't need this. I mean, you might need it sometime or another when the devil talks to you. Huh? Brother, it's holiness or hell. Saul, he got in trouble when he began to reason. Instead of just following simply what God had ordered, he began to reason. And he said, well, I'll keep the best of the flock. Huh? You know, how many knows that there's a sin that does so easily beset us? My sin that so easily besets me may not be yours. But we got to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Somebody say amen. Now, you know, I could get on this holiness horse and I could gouge it, and we could blaze some trails here tonight. Just fill in all the blanks you're thinking about right now. I mean every bit of that. What you're thinking right now, that too. Got it? I don't have time to nail it all down. Amen. There's more sins, and they're getting new ones every day. I can't list them all. It'd take me all night. But the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Huh? Whatsoever is not, whatever you, if you can't do that in good faith that God is pleased with it, you'd better leave it alone. Amen. And then Saul waited on Samuel to come up and make sacrifice, and he didn't come on time. And he said that the people got upset. And so Saul, who was not a priest, began to offer sacrifice. Oh, I feel like preaching right here. Amen. I tell you what, there's an authority, amen, in the house of God. And I'm about to get out of the way here, but I'm feeling the Holy Ghost going with me. Amen. But I'll tell you, this modern day church world, amen, that has broke down the authority of a pastor, and broke down the authority of the Bible, and broke down the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on now. And the preacher just tries to let their hair down and put on their flip flops. Amen. And go out to the beach and back. Baptized in bikinis. I want to tell you something, brother, that ain't the way it's done. I wish somebody say amen. Amen. There is a holy, sanctified office that God calls out by his Holy Ghost and anoints with his Holy Ghost. And we got to have clean hands. Come on now. I said we got to have clean hands to wait upon the tabernacle of the Lord. Saul made sacrifice, amen, when he shouldn't have done it. He said the people, maybe. Here comes Samuel. And he realized that the sacrifice had been made. And Samuel, it grieved his heart. Samuel took out, now listen to me, now this goes against the grain right here. Samuel pulled out a sword. Samuel, the preacher. Well, y'all, that ain't hard for y'all to imagine, is it? Huh? He pulled out the sword, and brother, and he fell upon that king, and he cut him in pieces. Hallelujah. It don't sound like a charismatic renewal, does it? Huh? Oh, y'all ain't liking this. Hey, man, we've lost 50 of our members didn't even show up, and there's 50 more thinking about it right now. Huh? He pulled out that sword. He cut Agag in pieces and killed, amen. And then here's what, he went and prayed for Saul. He kept praying for Saul. He kept praying for Saul. He kept praying for Saul. And God said, don't pray no more. Brother Steve said tonight, and I agree, he didn't know anybody who couldn't be saved. Huh? I agree. I don't know anybody personally. Huh? But I'll tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord, and I believe this is what got David. When David looked at that, and when David backslid, and he did, after all of this, Brother Mac, David still backslid, amen, on the rooftop one night, amen. But he looked at Saul, and then he realized what happened, and so he prayed in Psalm 51, and he said, oh God, amen, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. You know what's keeping us up on our feet? It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I don't know if we understand this or not, amen, but how are the mighty fallen? They fell when the Holy Ghost, amen, came out of their lives and left them, amen, deserted and empty and void. I tell you about this church right here. Oh, God, help me. I know the devil hates us, and I know he's hot on our trail, but brother, we know some things about the Bible, and we know some examples in the Bible. We must keep the Spirit of the Lord moving. We must have the true power of the Holy Ghost, and it only comes through devotion and prayer and dedication and surrender and self-sacrifice. Brother, we must have it. How are the mighty churches fallen when they lose, amen, their convictions and their standard of living and lose the Spirit of God? And when Saul began to fall, he turned against David. Chased him like an animal. And I've seen it happen. When people lose that position with God, they get so resentful of anybody that does have it. That's why David had Uriah killed. It eat him alive. I said it eat David alive when he was staying home on the day of battle. And he brought this man Uriah in to cover up his adulterous affair. and Uriah had so much loyalty, he wouldn't even go to his house, enjoy the company of his wife because of his loyalty to the battlefield. And Brother Jerry, when David looked out and saw Uriah sleeping on the porch, he could not live with it. It brought such condemnation on him. Amen. And he said, put him in the forefront of the battle. Oh, come on now. Amen. If we're going to stand, we're going to have to be loyal. Amen. To the cause of the right. Amen. I'll tell you what, church, I love you. I'll just tell you how I feel. I'm too far down the road, amen, to risk anything now. And you say, well, brother, you're not above fall. I know that 1,000 times I know that. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there is one who is able to keep us, amen, from falling and present us blameless before God. Woo, I'm depending on him. Amen. That nail-scarred hand. You say that won't be in heaven. Oh, yes. I believe the song was right. John saw a lamb as it had been slain. Amen. It had the marks in it. You could tell it had been slain. I want to tell you, amen, we don't have to fall like Saul. Amen. We can have a remedy. We can cast ourselves upon this one that's able to put humility in us and sanctified living in us and a soberness of mind.
Stand with me, God. I apologize. God bless you. I know you feel like you've been in a train wreck, but I'll tell you, I believe every word of it. Saul died of suicide. He fell upon his own sword. Sad. But I've seen that happen, and maybe, amen, I want to tell you something. If you're here and you're worried about yourself, that's good. We go to this altar right here, and we'll ask God to help us. Because the fall, amen, of Saul, it didn't just hurt one. It took a boy, Brother Mark, that was one of the best guys in the whole kingdom, but it took him down with him. You remember Brother Benny preaching here several years ago on the wrecked by the wreckage? Anybody remember that message? Wrecked by the wreckage. This great ship sailing into the harbor and hit something. And down it went. And when they did the investigation, it was wreckage from another wreck that had destroyed this invincible ship. Amen. I'll tell you what, I want to stand. Not just for Randy Webb. But I realize if I fail, huh? Amen. I may not have as much influence as others, but I know somebody will be hurt. Amen. And I remember years when I first started preaching, I didn't think I was going to make it. I was going through a trial. I didn't want to backslide. Never have. But the devil just kept telling me, you can't make it. And I'd think of some of them sisters, Sister Helen, like yourself, that I'd been in different places preaching and how they helped me and bragged on me and prayed for me. And I'd think of them, and I'd say, Lord, have mercy. I can't disappoint them, oh, saints of God. And I'd call my mom and pray, Mom, I can't survive. But I want to tell you, after all these years, amen, you don't have to backslide. You don't have to fall. You don't have to be a mighty that's fallen. If we'll humble ourselves, He will exalt us in due time. If we'll sanctify ourselves, God will, He purifies our heart. Then it's up to you and I to go home and throw things out and stop going places we used to go. Now that's something we can do. Huh? But God, I know God's got to clean our heart up or we won't even want to do it. But when He cleans our heart up, we can make it. We can make it. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I really do. You say, Brother, I don't feel him. I do. I feel him right now. Amen. I want you to bow your head. Lord, as we read this epitaph, this sad death of this man, Lord, it doesn't have to be us. And I believe that's what you want us to know tonight. That by the grace of God, we can humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And Lord, we can obey your word. we can destroy the things that you have commanded us to. And let the grace of God and the Spirit of the Lord keep us alive in this dark hour. Bless our church. God, let us be prepared for a revival where souls are added to our church. They'll benefit by coming here and not hinder them, Lord. We ask you to help us. God, forgive me my inadequacy and my weakness in preaching. But God, help us believe the truth and live it in Jesus' name.